The Song of Solomon, chapter 3, beginning in verse 6, and reading through verse 1 of chapter 4. This is the word of the Lord. What is that coming up from the wilderness like columns of smoke? Perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the fragrant powders of a merchant. Behold, it is the litter of Solomon. Around it are 60 mighty men, some of the mighty men of Israel, all of them wearing swords and expert in war, each with his sword at his thigh against terror by night. King Solomon made himself a carriage from the wood of Lebanon. He made its posts of silver, its back of gold, its seat of purple. Its interior was inlaid with love by the daughters of Jerusalem. Go out, O daughters of Zion, and look upon King Solomon with the crown with which his mother crowned him on the day of his wedding, on the day of the gladness of his heart. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats leaping down the slopes of Gilead. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, open our eyes that we may behold your Son. Open our ears that we may hear his voice. And open our hearts that we may know his love. We ask in his name. Amen. The day of Solomon's wedding begins with his coming up from the wilderness, seated in a carriage carried upon the shoulders of men. And we noted before that there is a similarity between the carriage of Solomon and the sanctuary of the Lord. And we see this in various ways. We see it in the myrrh and frankincense, which was the fragrance that rested upon the carriage of Solomon. And so it was with the sanctuary of the Lord. The oil that anointed the holy places, it was liquid myrrh. And the incense that burned upon the altar before the Lord, it was frankincense. This fragrance that rested upon the carriage of Solomon, it was the same fragrance that rested upon the sanctuary of the Lord. And we see it in the wood and the silver and the purple and the gold. As the carriage of Solomon was made with cedar, its posts overlaid with silver, its back with gold, and its seat woven with purple, so it was with the sanctuary of the Lord. Its posts rested upon bases of silver. Its cedar was overlaid with gold, and its curtains were woven with purple. The carriage of Solomon, it reflected the sanctuary of the Lord. We see it in its fragrance. We see it in the materials with which it was made. But we also see it in the manner of its coming. From the wilderness, like columns of smoke. Throughout the Old Testament, smoke is often a sign of the presence of the Lord. We see this at Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 19, verse 18. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln. And we see this at Mount Zion. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5. Then the Lord will create over the whole site of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day and smoke and the shining of a flaming fire by night. Solomon's coming from the wilderness like columns of smoke. It resembles the Lord's coming. It resembles his coming from the wilderness in pillars of cloud and fire. And as Solomon rested in his carriage, and as that carriage was carried by men and surrounded by swords, so it was with the Lord in the wilderness. The Lord rested upon the ark. As that ark was carried by men and accompanied by the armies of Israel. Numbers chapter 10, verse 33. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them to seek out a resting place for them. And whenever the ark set out, Moses said, "Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. And let those who hate you flee before you." And when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the 10,000s of Israel." As we behold Solomon in his carriage, we are reminded of the Lord in his sanctuary. We see this not only in the similarities of fragrance, in the similarities of material, in the manner of their coming, but we see it also in the purpose of their coming. We are told of the carriage of Solomon that its interior was inlaid with love by the daughters of Jerusalem. And this was also true of the sanctuary of the Lord. Exodus chapter 33, verse 25. And every skillful woman spun with her hands, and they all brought what they had spun in blue and purple, and scarlet yarns, and fine twined linen, all the women whose hearts stirred them to use their skill. The sanctuary of the Lord, it also was inlaid with love by the daughters of Israel. By those women whose hearts were stirred up and awakened to love, to the love of the Lord. as the carriage of Solomon was made in love, so the sanctuary of the Lord was made in love. And it was not only made in love, it was made for love. Now, this is very clear with the carriage of Solomon. But the day for which it was made was what day? The day for which it was made was the day of his wedding. This carriage was not made for Solomon alone. It was made also for his bride. It was made as a place to bear them in love, these two who were to become one flesh. And so it is with the sanctuary of the Lord. The sanctuary was not made for the Lord alone. It was also made for his people as a place to bear them together in love, these two who were to become one flesh. And as the bride of Solomon becomes the crown with which he is crowned on the day of his wedding, so it is with the bride of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 3, you shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord. You shall be a royal diadem in the hand of your God. And as the day of Solomon's wedding is the day of the gladness of his heart, so it is with the Lord. Isaiah chapter 62, verse 4. You shall be called, my delight is in her, for the Lord delights in you. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. But if we should wonder how it is that we are to become one flesh with the Lord, but the Lord is not flesh, if we should wonder how it is that we are to become one flesh with the Lord, we need only look upon the mystery of his incarnation. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The mystery of this union between the man and the woman, between Solomon and his bride. It is the mystery of the union between Christ and the church, between the Lord and his people. And though it seems hard to believe, here we are assured that the church is Christ's crown. The church is his crown. The church is his glory. The church is the gladness of his heart. Now, if a woman is to be the gladness of her husband's heart, consider what must be true of him. If a woman is to be the gladness of her husband's heart, consider what must be true of him. Say, woman is to be the gladness of her husband's heart. It must be true that he has given himself to her wholly. It must be true of him that he does not keep her at a distance, that he does not push her away, that he does not put up a shield against her. No, he puts nothing between them. If she is to be the gladness of his heart, he cannot come to her as one who is shielded. He does not come to her as one who is clothed. He is naked before her. And he gives her his heart. He makes himself vulnerable with her, as one who is able to be wounded by her. She cannot be the gladness of his heart unless he opens himself to the possibility that she may also be the bitterness of his heart. To delight in her is to open himself to being grieved by her. If she is able to gladden his heart, she is also able to grieve his heart. And so it is with the Lord and his people. So it is with Christ and the church. Do you think it is not so? If it were not so, then why would it be written, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God"? Why would we be told not to grieve him if we could not grieve him, if he could not be grieved? You see, he gives his heart to us. He gives us his heart and is willing to be grieved by us. See the truth of his love for us. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And hear the words that he speaks to you. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Now we do not doubt that Solomon spoke these words of his bride. But we may struggle to believe that Christ would speak these words of us. But do we do well to disbelieve it? Does a woman honor her husband? when she discounts his words that he speaks to her in sincerity and truth. We are well acquainted with everything that is wrong with us. We know well those things that we wish were not true of us. Things that concern our bodies, things that concern our souls. But consider the one who is speaking these words. Does he not know us better than we know ourselves? Does he not see us more clearly than we see ourselves? And still he says, "Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful." Here again, we must learn to look upon Christ as we look upon a mirror. We must learn to see ourselves in the reflection of his eyes, in the gaze of his face. For it is there that we see ourselves more truly than in the clearest mirror. There we see our bodies, and there we see our souls. And there we see ourselves not only as we are, but also as we will be. We may look upon that place. It is never wrong to continue gazing, to continue looking. And as we look, we learn to let go of our own discontentment, of our impatience with what we see in a mirror. And at last we learn to rest in that patience and love with which he gazes upon us. And we learn to trust that there is no deceit in his mouth, and that what he speaks to us is truth. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. You are beautiful. Let a husband learn to speak this way to his wife. For it is the way that Christ speaks to her. Not because she has earned it, nor because he seeks to gain some advantage by it. He speaks in grace. He speaks it in grace because he loves her. Would you come between the Lord and his bride? Then let every husband be a friend of the bridegroom. And speak to your wife these words of his love. Let her know better his love by the way you speak to her. Let her know better his grace by the way you look upon her. Speak to her love. Look upon her with love. Give her your heart. Bear her griefs. Carry her sorrows. Cover her with grace. Let a husband learn this way toward his wife. And let us all learn this way toward one another. But the church is the body of Christ, united to his flesh. And we are each one members of it. But should our faith grow weak, let us remember this day. For this day, it is the day of the gladness of his heart. And what does he do on this day? He calls to us in grace. He comes to us in peace. And he speaks to us in love. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Do not doubt, but believe. Amen.